I spent some time with him out in Pasadena, and in a few minutes he explained it in a way that I understood it. I went home, started one on the free service Blogger. I had no idea how to use it at the time. I was a complete novice in relationship to all the technology. And very quickly I got hooked. And so I've been blogging now for just under a year. Next month it'll be a full year. But that's who Rudy is. He's kind of a guru on the subject, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Let me say a word about Rudy. Why some of you are here today in Indianapolis. Yeah, Rudy is instrumental in CCDA being in Indianapolis. A few years ago when I first got familiar with CCDA principles, I went to the website, of course, being the geek, and I don't communicate with John Perkins or Wayne Gordon. I communicate with the webmaster, and that was Rudy at the time, Rudy Carrasco. And then he started blogging, and similarly, I thought, hey, this is a great way that I can watch a day in the life at Harambe Center, which is in the hood in Pasadena, California, and really know. And then I realized as I read his blog, hey, this guy's well-connected. He's very informed about things, and blogs are good for that, is for staying well-connected and staying well-informed. So I'm reading Rudy's blog one day, and it says, hey, this CCDA convention is at Pasadena. How many, any of you in Pasadena back in 02, I think? And, yeah, great. And he's blogging during the course of the CCDA convention, just like he's blogging in the course of this one, even though now he's back at home in Pasadena. So in the course of it, he's saying, yeah, I met this guy named Scott Truex from Indianapolis, blah, blah, blah. Well, hey, here I am in Indianapolis. My charge, I believe, is to help connect the driven Christians in the racing capital of the world. I'd already started IndyChristian.com to do that. It wasn't a blog format. If any of you use FrontPage to do websites before, then you understand kind of, hey, it's a little more complex. Here's a new tool, though, that Rudy's using that, of course, is simple, free, and easy. So, yeah, I connected with Scott Truex when he got back home from CCDA, and he inspired me and said, hey, let's connect our networks. I know a lot of people. You know a lot of people. He said, let's go down to New Orleans in a campaign to bring CCDA to Indy in 05. So I said, well, hey, I'm game. And we went to Panera Bread one afternoon, and I got my laptop and my email list, and he had his laptop and his cell phones, and we started calling people like crazy to load a bus full of Hoosiers to go down to New Orleans in 03. And we did that, and those of you who were there may remember the big yellow buttons that we were wearing, and we started passing out, pinning them on everybody else, going CCDA Indy 2005. Now, we didn't have permission to do that, but you can imagine, by the end of the session that Saturday night, Dr. Perkins was wearing one, and he said, well, I guess we're going to Indianapolis in 2005. So we had 2 years to prepare. We spent a lot of time not just blogging, but actively connecting different folks. And like Steve represents a whole network of real prayer-oriented folks to transform things by a solid foundation of prayer. And we just connected a lot of different networks, and they're all involved here. And it's been awesome. It sends chills down my spine just to be able to tell you that story. So, yeah, when I look at Rudy, I say, hey, blogging had a lot to do with us being here today. So
that's a great case study of why you blog. Blog is, as you said, a low-cost, simple, and easy way to get things done, to connect people to one another, and to mobilize them for things that didn't exist previously. We're here in Indianapolis talking about the theme of radical redemption of our communities, taking them back for Christ, impacting them in a transformative way, not simply in the kind of rhetorical way that we're very good at sometimes, talking about change, talking about societal revolution, talking about all these different things. Well, this isn't a methodology to facilitate that. I want to give two other examples, possibly more as the day goes on, but just to start, I had the opportunity this summer to read a book called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Some of you may have seen the book or familiar with it. It's written by Joe Trippi, who is the campaign manager for the Howard Dean campaign. It's not a political book, although he does make political references throughout it, but rather it's an exploration of how the internet is democratizing the exchange of information, the ability to connect with one another, the ability to shape and reshape dialogues and culture and commerce and all sorts of other things. And he uses the Dean for America campaign as a case study in what that actually looked like. Some of you might recall that at the start of the Howard Dean campaign, he was a nondescript governor from a nowhere state who had seven guys working above a bar in a little, you know, office, and basically had no shot. He was nobody from nowhere going no place, but he thought that if he entered the race, he could somehow make a difference. And for a long time, in the early days of his campaign, he had no traction. He wasn't getting much done. And then he hired people like Joe Trippi and others who were political veterans, you know, old school political methodologies, but also had a technological bent to them, and saw the possibility of taking a campaign online. Is it possible to connect various people across cultures and geographies and race and everything else to build a grassroots movement that could inform the debate? They had very few expectations that Howard Dean might actually become the front runner. But could they make enough noise that they could change the debate? And if you remember what happened over a 10-month window, he went from being this nowhere, nobody from nowhere, to being the front runner who had raised the most money and who changed the face of the dialogue. At the start of the campaign, John Kerry was a pro-war Democrat. By the end of it, he was not. And the reason he was not was because a guy in his backyard was challenging the Democrats about their position on the war. Up and down the line, he re-energized the Democratic Party, raised the most amount of money of any of the candidates, had 600,000 people contribute money to their campaign. By contrast, traditionally, it's very few people that contribute, but they contribute big bucks, and they're the movers and shakers, and that's what changes, or not changes, but fuels campaign financing. Well, in this context, it was a very democratic opportunity. His point in all of that was not to say, you know, it wasn't a political point per se, as much as it was a point of the impact, the potential impact that this medium has for connecting people, for sharing ideas, for mobilizing action, for redistributing resources in a more equitable fashion. A second example, there's a gentleman here at the convention that I was introduced to when I started my blog back in December of last year. Well, he and I have become virtual friends online. Never met him in person. His name is Bob Campbell. He'll be showing up at some point today. Never met him in person, but we've had an ongoing exchange to the point where it's not just random comments on each other's blogs. But this summer, in August, my wife's grandmother passed away, which for my wife was very traumatic. Her grandmother was very much a motherly figure in her life. Her father passed away early and when she was just a little girl and so on. So they were very close. More than being a grandmother, you know, granddaughter relationship, it was like a best friend kind of relationship. So it was very impactful for my wife, but also the family. She was the family matriarch. Well, on my blog, I began to write about this. The whole month of August was a crazy month for a lot of other reasons as well. And this kind of, you know, bookended the month. And so I'm writing about this. And at the funeral, we presented a PowerPoint slideshow, just commemorating her life, pictures of the family. Well, the slideshow moved a lot of people in the audience emotionally, and they all wanted copies. Well, I didn't have time in the middle of everything to burn a bunch of CDs and, you know, do all the things that it would require to share the slideshow with everybody. And so I put a post on my space, on my blog, just talking about it. This is back in August, saying, does anybody know how I could get some free online disk space so we could share the slideshow with everybody? Well, Bob responds and says, I've got some. You know, here's how you can upload it to my site. We uploaded it to his site, and before the week was over, people from the family were able to download this and have it on their computers. And then I had still never met the guy, and I just met him yesterday for the first time, and yet he was able to play a vital, emotionally supportive role. And we met in via cyberspace. He lives half a country away in Illinois, so it's not like we were going to get to connect very often. But here we are, we've become virtual friends, and now yesterday I met him for the first time. These are the kinds of things that can happen in this medium. It pulls people together. I met Rudy 5 years ago at the New York CCDA conference. This is before blogging, when we were still just using email and stuff like that. Rudy and I became friends via the power of email, and a few phone calls, and then meeting up periodically at different conferences and such. Well, he's become a very close personal friend, and because of our respective blogs, we've been able to share things. Yesterday he talked, for instance, about his son and the crisis with his son's cancer and leukemia. Well, when I first heard about it, it was through an email that he sent. Been tracking with it because of his blog. He has a blog for his son. Well, my 4-year-old son, who at the time of the diagnosis was only 3, I'd go onto this blog and show him pictures of Samuel. His heart was pricked. And for the last year and a half, to this day, my son prays for Samuel. For about a year, it was literally every night. Now it's not as often, but my son and his son are friends because of pictures that they've been able to share in this space. The point to all of this is it's an incredibly powerful medium. The more that we're connected to the medium, the more we're able to share ideas quickly to a broader audience, to shape conversations, to mobilize people for great impact. And so those are just some of the reasons of why we do this. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. In fact, here's Mr. Bob Campbell right now, just walked in. I just told him how you've been a virtual friend for the last year, and you've become an in-the-flesh friend in the last 24 hours. So it's great to have you, Bob. One more little example. More of a ministry application, and then we're going to open it up for some conversations. Neil has some more technical stuff he wants to show us. But I do youth development in New York City. We work in public housing projects, very low-income community, traditionally the kind of community that people have talked about the digital divide. You know, kids who don't have access to computers, kids who aren't in that space. That was very true 3 and 4 years ago. It's far less true today, and I'll explain how. Since I got the bug of blogging about a year ago and have had the opportunity to meet people around the world, literally, because of it, I brought to my kids at one of our youth centers just about a month ago the idea. I was filling in for my director who couldn't be there that day. And so during the hour-long free time, I found that all the kids were on the handful of computers that we have in the space. And as I'm watching them, they're all going to their respective internet websites. And on those websites, they're posting pictures, they're talking to friends, they're IMing, instant messaging each other, they're doing all sorts of funny things together. Now, I had gone that day with the agenda of asking them if they knew what a blog was, if they had ever considered using a blog, if there was any way that we might be able to utilize this great technology to connect with other kids in their schools and invite them to the programs that we do and the events that we do. And for an hour of just hanging out with them, I discovered that not only did they know what a blog was, but every single one of them had blogs. And some of them had gotten very sophisticated in how they were using blogs. In fact, one of my girls is a senior in high school, and this blew me away. She's a senior in high school. She's organizing a reunion for her junior high school graduating class through a blog. But it's not just her. The way it happened, friends of hers that all had MySpace accounts, which is the service that a lot of them use. It's not the only one. They were all interacting with one another on their MySpace accounts and said, wouldn't it be great if we get all of our friends together for a reunion? These are kids who have no money, so they can't rent a venue. So they said, why don't we meet on such and such day at this location? We'll spread the word to all of our friends that we know are online and see how many show up. There were like 600 kids that showed up to this junior high school reunion, a bunch of seniors in high school now, who all had these spaces. So as we were talking, I'm discovering all the kids already have their own blogs. They're doing their own thing. So the next step is, well, how do I get their addresses? You know, how can I find out what they're talking about? And I have to admit something to you. When I actually visited some of their sites, my stomach sank. It was not the most edifying experience for me out in that space. Not only what they're talking about, but what some of the dangers of the technology. The technology connects everybody to everyone. And so it's not just nice kids from nice communities who are going online to do nice things. You've got lots of other people in the space, sharing the space, interacting with one another. And my question to our staff was, well, how do we respond to this? Do we just kind of come down hard on them for some of the stuff they're talking about, the language that they're using, the conversations that they're having, the people that they're accepting into their network of friends, which you go to some of their sites and see their pictures, and it can be very shocking if you're not used to that sort of thing. How do we react? Do we just go in there, guns blazing, that's bad, don't do it? And then what will happen? They'll shut down that account that we have the address to, and they'll open up another account that we don't have the address to, and just kind of do the same thing over and over again. And so these things are, they're great in terms of their potential, but their potential can also be easily corrupted, which to me says we need to be in the space all the more if the goal is radical redemption. If, just like we talk about relocation, in the older paradigms of community development, right? Relocation 10 years ago simply meant you literally moved into a neighborhood, you establish roots in the neighborhood, you identify with the people, you become part of the community, you relate, you see them on the steps and everything else. Well, we need to relocate ourselves into this space, because not only is this space real, but it's vast. You get into this space, and people like Neil, I discovered today, have been reading my blog in Indianapolis. I've never even met him. Didn't know he existed until 2 days ago when Rudy said, I have to leave early. Could you connect with Neil and co-facilitate this workshop? Now, he's been engaged in that, you know, from however many miles away he is from New York City. There's an amazing potential here. And so I'm going to leave it at that for now. Neil is going to show some more technical stuff, and then our hope is that we can open this up for some discussion. Identify some of the questions that need to be answered for people who may not understand the technology yet, but know in fuzzy ways that they need to be engaging with it. How can we do that? How can we connect to one another? And so as he begins, I'm going to circulate. This is a very urban sign-up sheet, not very fancy. But if you have a blog, or if you don't, but your ministry has a website, if you could put your name, that address, and also an email address, we're going to demonstrate just how easy it is to stay connected online before the day's over. So I've got a couple sheets that will circulate.
Okay, I hope I can stay connected and stay seated so I can run this power or run the internet at the same time. By the way, everyone, The sessions are all pre-recorded, or they're all recorded, excuse me, and apparently there are CDs available at the Dove booth. Thank you so much for the Dove folks. They're the ones that run the sound and lighting and screens and make everything successful. And their booth is, where they're selling these, is right outside this door. So by all means, you're welcome to go there and get copies of any of the workshops and, of course, take City Blogging home. Of course, if you captured, as we were even at our site here, IndyChristian.com, you can write that down and take it home, or any of these that we talk about. And as we get a little further into this, we'd kind of like to know some of you who have websites and how you're using it to connect and communicate, not just for the sake of connecting and communicating, but for the sake of changing our cities in the name of Christ Jesus, because that is the bottom line. I want Indianapolis to be in heaven with me. I want all of Indianapolis. We're losing 400 people a day, or excuse me, 400 people a week are dying. How many of them are going to hell? Okay? And I care about them, not more than the Lord Jesus cares about them, but he does call us to be faithful. So this is my little piece. There are lots of folks from time past up to this current day. They're working really hard at greater prayer, care, and share in the city of Indianapolis, most of whom I don't even know, okay? But this is my little thing. They're doing the hard work. If I can just connect folks to each other and to those people who are doing really hard work, it can encourage them as well. You would see here, if you look down our page very far, you'd see, of course, we've been advertising CCDA for some time. I mean, we have been all over it, trying to get a lot of folks from Indy to come, get involved, and understand what CCDA is all about. And, of course, you'd see that we say we're an affiliate of Transform Indiana Network. That is, if city blogging is good to connect your city, then probably there are city clusters all over the state of Indiana. And, of course, if that's true, then, of course, there's bound to be something national, and indeed there is. How many of you know about Mission America Coalition? Okay, they are all over it on city reaching. Now, they hadn't thought in terms of doing that by using blogging, so we've been stretching their imagination somewhat. Jarvis Ward, who is the ranking guy from Mission America Coalition here today, or not in the room with us, I don't think, no. But he's around, and again, he's just inspired to know, hey, there are, you know, people who are using the internet as a new capability to carry out the Great Commission. So yeah, he's all turned on. You met Jarvis last night doing the Narnia presentation after the plenary speech last night. CityReaching.com is Mission America's City Reaching site. And of course, here you see there's a link to City Reaching blog. So we've charged them up about having blogs in all 50 states, and we're starting to proliferate that network. So for instance, you'd be able, well, we entered a blog thing there today saying, hey, we're going to be live blogging from Indianapolis. But you could go down the page ways and see, for instance, Indiana cities. If I click that, here we are right back to transformindiana.com. So, yes, we have a lot of folks throughout the state who are trying to help connect driven Christians. I originally said in the racing capital. Now they're talking about the racing state, blah, blah, blah. And here's a good, for instance, I've introduced you to Steve Freeman a little earlier, and here's a blog entry that Steve made. And it's as easy as email. He goes to blogger.com, logs in, writes something, hit the submit button. And by him being able to do that, suddenly now people can know about the transformation documentary that's going to be premiered here in Indiana on November 25th, and Steve's email address and phone number. So you kind of get the picture. Let's see who are a few. I had somebody mention from Illinois, Bob. Yeah, okay. So let's try. Now we're in the early stages, and of course I'll have to tell you that's there's no real way I can know. But we're going to go to IllinoisChristian.com in this case, which is a blog site. And again, our mission here at Illinois Christian is, again, to connect to the Illinois cities. So let's see. We've got a lot of things on here, I'm sure. Is your city ready? Oh, so they're talking about Christian Emergency Network, of which we are an active part of, a Christian Emergency Network. Of course, worked in Hurricane Katrina areas. and wants to be prepared with greater prayer, care, and share for all major disasters here, especially in the U.S. Let's go a little further down, see if we can find some cities in Illinois. Of course, there are entries to LatinoChristian.com, largely is a nationwide network, again, a join to us, saying, yeah, we want to connect people. Okay, so I'm not seeing a Rockford link at this moment. There's Chicagoland. For instance, we go to PrayChicago.net. Now, again, we didn't start that site. The folks in Chicago who want to see the Great Commission carried out, they're the ones that started the site. All we're doing is the easy work linking to them. I will want to talk about ChristianHeadlines.com a little later when we talk about aggregating your RSS feeds. That's when you'll really be asleep, but it's great. Blogs almost all automatically create this, what we call an RSS feed, and I won't bore you with the technology behind it. The point is, it's like a wire service. So if you have a blog, then automatically you have this wire service sort of feed coming from your blog. Our friends at ChristianHeadlines.com found out we had a feed here from the state of Indiana. So for instance, if anybody that goes to ChristianHeadlines.com, they'll click on Indiana, they'll see, hey, there's a couple of things. Oh, there's Transform Indiana, which you've seen. And there's IndyChristian.com, and oh, let's see what's going on there today. Oh, it's live blogging from CCDA. The editor of Christian Headlines, they're not just rolling up blog sites by any means. In fact, most of their sites are such as Agape Press, Baptist Press, you know, and what he's doing is simply aggregating feeds automatically that are coming from those major news sites. The editor of the Indianapolis Star, which is a huge newspaper, probably has millions or billions of dollars going through there a year. He, of course, is producing a feed from IndyStar.com. But at the same time, he has to be a little bit cognizant of what's going on with IndyChristian.com. So here's big media worrying about little media just a little bit because he wants to know what's being said about the newspaper from a Christian perspective here. And I'll tell you, Indianapolis is, by all spiritual metrics, church attendance, you name it, is running considerably ahead of the national averages, and he's aware of that. So he's vitally concerned, and as a result, we've been able to form a good friendship. He's not necessarily a born-again Christian per se, but he understands Christian values, and hopefully over time we'll have a lot of impact with him. There's a lot of folks praying for our city and for our city leaders and people like the editor from the Indianapolis Star. Another fellow who's been walking around a lot here during the convention is Russ Pulliam. His family owned the Star for many years, and Russ is a fine Christian here in this area and has contributed a lot toward making CCDA a success, and especially as it comes to Indianapolis. So we appreciate that. So you see how national sites, especially periodicals, Christian had another great site, of course, Christianity Today magazine. How many of you know about Christianity Today magazine? Okay. How many of you know one of our CCDA bloggers was featured on the cover of Christianity Today last month? Hey, some of you do. I'm surprised. Okay. Shane Claiborne is a CCDA board member and just a great guy. You're going to see him a lot. If you haven't seen him already, you're going to see him a lot next year when CCDA moves to Philly. And yeah, he graced the cover of Christianity Today magazine. So there's another example of people that provide these RSS feeds. And we're going to do some hands-on with that in a moment. One of the things I wanted to quickly mention, though, is as we drill down to, okay, we did Illinois. Let's go back to Indiana for a minute. If you look far, you know, there's just tons of links on our site here at Indy Christian, not the least of which is, you know, we ask big questions like, why blog, why do this and that, why believe in the Bible, you know, why Jesus? Okay, so one of our objectives is that we only are a click away from somebody to be able to know, hey, yeah, tell me about this Jesus person, and how could I know that I could have peace with God forevermore as a result? Wanted to get down to, okay, one of the key events, for instance, that we show here is a thing that we do weekly. Let's see, where am I? Free computer help. ubblogging.com. Now, I'll give you just a little background there. This all started in an inner city cafe. I don't know if any of you have been there yet, but the Unleavened Bread Cafe is a Christian cafe in the heart of the hood. And they're just the most warm, welcoming folks there that started that you'd ever want to see. You can see a few pictures of the Unleavened Bread Cafe here. If you want to hear more, there's a video running right outside this door, hopefully, that is running that. There are pictures here from the cafe. And, of course, you can see we've got computers in the back room. We've created a wireless network in the heart of the hood here. People coming off the street. So it helps us connect both, of course, outsiders, suburbanites, being able to click in, learn more about the inner city. But conversely, down here in the inner city, to be able to show them, hey, click out here and look out here at suburbia Christians. They care about the same Lord Jesus, and they do care about you. They just don't know how to interact a lot. So we can hopefully teach that over the internet and then someday live in person. This little cafe we've used for the city host team here in Indianapolis for the last 18 months for our meetings monthly. So a lot of cross-cultural connecting is going on here at the cafe. And again, we even started a blog site from the cafe. So think of it as like a newsletter site for urbanites here, urban Christians especially. And yes, we've put some tips on how to blog, those sorts of things. But because it was called the Unleavened Bread Cafe, we played off the initials UB, and we just started saying to our folks, take a drug dealer off the street or somebody who's homeless almost, and you'd be going, hey, I can at least in 3 weeks, you be surfing, you be emailing, you be blogging. Yeah, and the blogging is not quite the important thing there. The important thing there is connecting you to where the resources are. So we have folks come in and say, hey, I'm looking for a job, and they told me if I could surf to somehow get to the post office site here in Indianapolis, I can do an online application. And I don't know the first thing about any of that. When he didn't have time to go through a complete computer training course, he just needed to go straight to this post office site and have somebody help him hands-on. So that's what we do down there on a Saturday morning, and we'd like to do it 24/7 if we could. But the point is, building relationships is still the most important thing. We tell them it's a lot more important who you know than it is what you know. So who you know is like, come to the cafe. We've got folks here who want to help you. That's just one example of using it in the inner city. And yes, there are tips there even for you. As you go back home and you say, gee, I didn't quite get this or that, there are some training tips. And they're just, you know, they're pretty simplified to how you can get started blogging. I will at least start the process, and then I'll turn it back to Jeremy. We're going to do an online blog today. We want to create one live while you're here. Now, I will try to avoid the early stage of that. The early stage is just like email. When you went up and set up your email account at Hotmail or Yahoo, you went through a lot of whatever just for you to get an ID. And I hope you can do that on your own at blogger.com. And then we'll talk about how to set up the blog itself. But yeah, you'll go to blogger.com and you'll get an ID, and then you'll start building your blog. We're going to start at the point where you already have the ID. And then I'm going to, yeah.
I'm sorry. There might be some people in here who don't even understand the concept of blogger.com. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. There are lots of ways to create your blogs. It doesn't have to be at blogger.com. It's just you're going to see this symbol over and over. Who can tell me who owns blogger.com? Google. The people who own blogger.com are google.com. Everybody know about Google? All right. Who can tell me what Google stock was selling for 1 year ago? 1 year ago, what was Google stock selling for? Actually, it was about $100 last September, and I'll use September. That was when I traced it last time. A year ago, and of course, it started out at like $22. It went up to $100. But even just as recently as last year, September, it was $100. Who can tell me what it was worth in September this year? Yeah, well, it was about $300 in September, and it may be up $400 now. Okay, so here's my point is, like, hey, I don't have to be a real smart person to know about blogging and all these things, but if I can catch the understanding that they know something we don't know, and it's important, and it makes sense Wall Street, they understand why it's important. So, yeah, we got a comment back here.
Okay, question. Mm-hmm. If you have a domain, you're hosting a website, your own email, is Blogger still the place to go if you want to like it? Can you just add a Blogger feature to an existing
Okay. Excellent. Domain? Okay, so the question is, and I'll just do this for the audio purposes. The question is, hey, if you already have a website, can you use Blogger somehow to create a blog at your website? And the answer is yes. And the bad news is we probably won't cover exactly how to do that, but I will tell you right off that's exactly what we're doing at IndieChristian.com because I started the website long before I shifted it to a blog format. And I'll quickly tell you the purpose of me shifting it to a blog format was several reasons, but one major reason was when it was its own and I was using Front Page, I was the bottleneck. I was the only guy that could publish, really. By shifting it to Blogger, then suddenly I could bring folks on, like Steve. So he can post anytime at IndieChristian.com, even without me. So the answer is, yes, you can do it even at an existing website. You can use this Blogger capability. And yes, you can team blog. So that's really what I'm about is it's great to be able to blog. It's really great if you can create a team of bloggers all producing together at a centralized site. So again, I'm a big advocate for Blogger simply because I know they're going to be stable. They'll always be there. Google will always be improving it over the years. And if the day comes where there's a better one for Christians, great, we'll shift. We'll do whatever is necessary to accelerate the Great Commission. So here, for instance, I just surfed to blogger.com. I've already obtained my login. You'll get one yourself. You'll give it your own password. And bingo, you'll be in and you'll have one blog. At this point, okay, come on, Blogger, let's work. Excellent. Boy, I wish the people on the mic could hear that, Kira. Kira's absolutely right. It's free. It's easy. It's as easy as email, we keep saying. You surf somewhere, you log in, just like I did. Now, I'm involved in all of these blogs. Now, primarily, some more than others. Some we've just stuck out there as sticky sites that kind of run by themselves, attracting folks to come in and go, oh, so that's where the city network is. So it gives an ability to catch on. And of course, if you know how Google prioritizes its rankings, and I call that the Google parable, I link to Kira, Kira links to me, I link to Joe, Joe links to me, Joe links to Kira, Kira links to Joe, and Google sees that with its spider, and all of us rise in the search engine. And as a result, if there are like a million hits or a million possible sites answering for Indianapolis Christian, then of course I want to be that number one site. So, and yes, indeed, that's where we're at. So that's how you can get your sites elevated in the search engines, is doing a lot of interactively, you know, changing links, exchanging links with each other. And yes, it's very easy. And here we go. So I'll just use one of our most recent, let's see. In fact, I won't use one of the existing ones. I'm going to go down and I'll just create a blog. Hopefully, here we go. It's a blue button. Now, a little definitional thing with blogger.com. When they talk about a blog, they're talking about the whole blog site. They're not talking about one little blog post. It's a big difference between a blog and a blog post. So a blog post is like a diary entry. So you go in on, you know, today and you make one. On the other hand, today we're going to create a whole blog. So I just hit the create blog. This is just a title you can give it, sample city blog. Okay, now this is much more important, the blog address, because this will have to be unique and we'll have to probably get lucky here. I'm going to say I want this located at a URL called samplecityblog.blogspot.com. And then they'll make sure that I'm a human being doing this and not a computer program. That's why this word verification thing has to occur. But it's nice and easy. You just type what you see on the screen and you click continue. And let's hope, oh, good, nobody had used that name. Now, here's what makes it so easy to create your blog is because they use templates and you just choose one you like. There are many templates here. In fact, there are even more than are represented in this short screen. But for instance, let's say, let's go with a green format. We haven't used green today. It's called Son of Moto. And these all have different attributes, and you can play around with the template. And if you start with one, you can change and use a different one. Liz?
A comment. Be careful when you're messing around with blogger templates, because if you get too enthusiastic, you can mess up the template and have to start over.
Okay. Okay, great. That's a good point. So this template, and that'll be kind of a little more advanced. The great part is you all are here. You know where I'm at. I'm at IndieChristian.com. You know where Jeremy can be reached now, because you can go to IndieChristian, click on that web link for our seminar today. You can go right to his site. You can be in touch with him. And we want to connect you all to each other as well. That's why we're getting the sign-in lists and, as he said, the urban sign-up sheet. Okay? What you saw happening there while Liz was giving us some warnings about the templates was we already did create a blog site, and we're now ready to make our very first post. Not right off of it. That is one, of course, that's a general internet thing, refreshing. The question really is about screen refreshing, site refreshing. Okay. And that might have been, hopefully that was just a short-term problem. Problem being you enter a post, and everybody can't see that updated post. Of course, you all know this. You have to hit your screen refresh anytime you're surfing if you want to see always the most current thing. And that very much depends individually, personally, how your browsers are set up. So, for instance, if I'm going to enter a blog post here. You saw it's just like email. I gave it a subject. I went down here in the body of it, and I typed something, and I hit the submit button. Now notice this orange button at the bottom, not very orange there, but the orange button, I can either post it live, and I will, or if my wife called me and said, hey, get in here to supper, you know, I'm waiting on you, or I think, hey, I don't know, you know, I haven't written the full blog, I could save it as a draft, and you wouldn't see it online. But in this case, I'm just going to go ahead and, hey, let's be venturesome, let's go out and post something. Okay? So it is now posted. Don't worry about all this stuff here. Just, you know, simply click the View Blog button. Let's see if it opens a new screen. Yeah, it is. Here we go. The only thing you need to know about this, by the way, I hit the View Blog. You thought nothing happened. Really, it's happening in another window that I had already had to open, and this is that window. So automatically, we're up. The site is running. And it has one entry in it that says, hi, welcome. You know, we're underway with the new city blog site. That being said, I'll do some more with this while Jeremy is chatting a little further and taking some other questions. There we go.
We want to open it up. We've already begun getting some questions, so that's good. Opening it up to further dialogue about this. The questions could be technical, how-to sorts of things, or they could be more abstract, kind of dreaming together, visioning what could be. So why don't we begin in the back?
What do you think about short blog posts compared to blog essays?
1,000-word essays on a computer screen, as they might be in a, you know, print format. And so what a lot of people that are, you know, using blogs have begun to do is abbreviate their writing, a lot of short, kind of bulleted thoughts. Sometimes if you go to my blog, I some of my posts get really unwieldy and long, and I'll just throw them up anyway because I don't have time to cut it down. You know, and so it allows for people to make preferences or make choices. If they want to read the whole thing, they can. If they prefer to read it in a hard copy, they're free to print it out, you know, and make those decisions on their own. But I use both. Any other thoughts on that?
Yes. Attaching a file becomes very advantageous if you have your own site, just like the earlier question. If you have your own site, you can do whatever you want on your own server and attach things. With Blogger, you really can't attach files. You can reference whatever else exists out on the internet somewhere, whether it's at your site or somebody else's site. But it really doesn't let you attach the file itself yet. Who knows what the future is? It does let you attach picture files. Okay?
Can you talk about that?
You want to talk about picture files?
Sure.
You might want to just mention how to put up a link.
Yeah, if you want to go to my mine, I've got some examples of that. Well, what's literally happening on Blogger, since we're using that as the example, I'll explain it. You don't literally upload your photos or other files to the Blogger website. What you can do is link to photos that exist on other websites. So there are other services. For example, the one I use is Flickr, but there are a lot of others that exist that allow you to upload pictures, catalog albums. You know, people can share and go and enjoy the various photos that already exist on some other site, and then it'll link to it. So you'll see the image on your blog, but the photo isn't actually being stored on the blog. It's being stored offline on another site. And the same, more generally, like I mentioned before, how Bob allowed me to upload this PowerPoint to his spot. That wasn't on his blog. That was on a separate web space that he has access to. We uploaded there, and then I linked to it from my blog. And so people were able to download it, save it on their computers, even though it wasn't actually being stored on my blog itself.
I tell you what, link, Jeremy, why don't you follow the, I'll show him how to do a link, and you talk to him about it. For instance, I'll link to Latino Christians. Then let's go back and let's add a picture for this particular blog.
Okay.
So
let's just walk through this process. He's creating a hyperlink from the blog to this other website. There's a little tool. Yeah.
Okay. You see that I've highlighted a piece of text that I wanted to do. I wanted to turn that into a hyperlink. As far as I'm concerned, that's the most important non-text thing you can learn. How to create a hyperlink. Because if we can create a hyperlink, then I can link to Kara, and she can link to Joe, and link to Bill, and Susie, and George, and everybody. Okay, so this is, I believe, one of the most important things you can learn today or anytime. You can do this like in Word. If you're using Word to publish, it's the same general structure. And the idea is that you highlight the piece of text that you want to turn into a hyperlink. Like you see that LatinoChristians.com in the background? It could have said, you know, Bill, George, Susie. It's not pertinent that it says LatinoChristians.com, okay? What's really important then is I hit Control-K because I'm a keyboard shortcuts guy. I could have hit this little link button. Can you see where the arrow is? There's a little hyperlink type button. If I hit that, they'll accomplish the same thing, and that is it'll bring this little dialog box up on the screen and says, Neil, where do you want to link this to? And I said, http://Latino, if I can spell, LatinoChristians.com, and I hit the OK. And now I can update my blog again by just hitting the publish button again. And when it's complete, I just hit screen refresh to make sure I'm seeing the most current version of this. And indeed, now it's created. In this particular template that I'm using, it doesn't automatically show the underline. You have to kind of understand, hey, there is an underline there if you hover over it. But the point is, it is a hyperlink.
And if I spelled it correctly, then it takes you to the right site. Okay? Now let's do a picture. Go ahead.
While you're starting that, there's another question.
Well, that's good because I'm going to ask about if you have several things that you want to do and or several different groups that you want to reach and bring together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do more than one blog, then you can do that to link all your blogs together.
Exactly.
So that, and one other thing, too, then if what about creating forums? With people being able to come in and talk and all that, is that possible to create that from blog?
Yeah, well, yes. They're not necessarily called forums, although you can link to other forums on other kinds of services. But one of the things that I use on mine is something called the blog role. In other contexts, it might be called the blog ring. Zanga calls them blog rings. MySpace calls them my friends. You know, there are a number of different terms for it, but basically it's links to other blogs, other websites that you can create. And so I use a tool called BlogRoller that facilitates that, and it's another free service. He wants to demonstrate the photo, so let's do that.
People wanted to know how to upload it or how to do a photo. Of course, and I won't do the more advanced thing, which is posting your own photos, but the great part about blogging is you can use a photo that's at somebody else's site. Be careful about copyright. But usually the people's photos you're going to use are your friends and so forth, so they want you to post their photos. The point is you have to understand basically how a web page works. Unfortunately, I don't have a window in this room. I'd like to be able to show you, but imagine there's a window here on the street and there's a car outside, okay? You have to understand the web page is like the wall, and that car is not part of the wall. The car is beyond it. You're just using that little window to see the car. That's the way pictures work on web pages as well. So the point is the picture is really somewhere else on the internet and you're just seeing it through this window in your web page. So the first thing is, if you want to put a picture on your site, you have to go find that picture that you want. So for instance, I'm going to use, I'm saying I want to get a picture up here of Jim Wallace, tonight's speaker, plenary speaker who wrote the book God's Politics. Well, you know, if, for instance, hey, here's his picture, and here's a picture of his book as well. So the first thing is knowing where that picture really is, if it's not on this web page at Indie Christian. And that's true. If not on the page, let's see where the picture really is. So I right-click on the picture, and I check the properties of that picture. Okay? And it tells me the properties are that picture really is located at http://mother-jones.com and so forth. Now me, I highlighted that and copied it because I didn't want to have to type that all out again. I didn't want to write it down. So I just copied it. So I'm bailing out of there. Now let's just proof that. I'm going to paste that URL into my browser and see if that's really where that picture is. Sure enough. Now notice it's a little larger than what I had. So apparently it's been resized, but that's okay. We can show you how to do that in Blogger. So that's really where the picture is. That's where that car is, okay, so to speak. So I come back here to my blog site. Let's see, and let's say I want to put it right there. I can click this picture image link. Are you following the mouse, the cursor? It'll pop a little dialog box and ask me, okay, where is that picture? And I'll say, okay, that's a URL, and I just pasted it in there. Because again, I'm lazy. I don't want to retype things. I like copy-paste. And now I get a chance to say where I want it in my web page. And hey, it's just fine with me if they leave it at the left. So I'm just going to say, well, in fact, I'm going to resize it using this button that says make it small. And I'm going to say, quick, upload the image. Blogger's doing all the work. And it says it's been added. Okay, so now I can just go back to my blog, hopefully, because I'm not seeing it there.
back at the other one? Yeah, click done. On the other window?
Yeah,
you're working in a different...
Good point. Okay, so you can't just jump back to the other window. I really need to click done. Now it uploads it. Okay, I've made it very large, and all I'm going to do, I clicked on it, and you'll see there are edges on that image, so I can resize it, and I'll resize it to whatever I want. Just so Jim doesn't think we're making them look heavy, let's make them a little thinner. If we like them, and let's click publish. And hopefully, let's check our work. We're in view blog again, and again, that's operating in a different window for me, and there it is. Okay? And of course, after the session today, and we have just a few minutes left, afterwards we're available for questions. We can show you some of this thing, and connect with us by email. Everybody link to Jeremy's site, and our site, and Rudy's site, and we'll all try to link to each other as much as possible, getting well live in search engines.
Over here.
Does it make sense to have just one blog, the catch-all, or would you want, if you wanted to have different topics, would you want a separate blog for maybe one for your work, one for, you know, your community or something,
extra
purposes?
Well, Neil has about 72 blogs, so I think we know the answer to that question. I also have multiple blogs, though. Not nearly as many. I'm not quite as prolific as he is. I have my general blog where I'll... What? GenXL, GenXCEL.blogspot.com.
And for the record, of course, you go to, if you can go to latinochristians.com, you'll see all of the blogs we've been doing during the course of this, and Jeremy's links are on there. So that's another way you can get to his blog.
So I have one primary one, and then I do have others that I contribute to for other things. So, for example, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see a link to something called the Coalition. The Coalition is a network in New York of youth workers, a number of youth workers, and we use the Coalition blog to circulate information that's going on in the city that's relevant for youth workers generally. Sometimes I'll link back and forth, like if I've written an article, I'll put it on my blog and then link from the Coalition there, etc. The blog role is what I was talking about before, which is a way to connect to different people and ultimately link up with them. But these are all people that I've met online. It's kind of funny, being from New York, none of my friends in New York actually, not none, let me not overstate it, very few of my friends in New York actually have blogs. And so most of the people that I'm linking to are people like Bob Campbell, who's in Illinois, or Noel, who we've all met, he's been emceeing here, or Rudy. Now that I know Neil, I'm going to put his name, add that to my blog role so we can be connected to one another. It's a way to find each other, stay in touch. There are other things like he was talking about that can aggregate all of the new information so you don't necessarily have to link to other blogs, but that's kind of the 202 class, not the 101 class, so we'll leave that alone for right now.
Yeah, let me just quickly go back to, was it Michael Emerson in the panel this morning with Divided by Faith? Certainly he has impacted me as a white evangelical who he writes to. And he, Dr. Charles Ware, the president of Crossroads Bible College here in Indianapolis, turned the staff on to this book and said, you should read this. And I read the book, and Michael Emerson, the author who spoke this morning, just offended me right out of the box, just saying, by saying, you white evangelicals, we, because he is one too, he says, we have to realize we're part of the problem. Even though our hearts are saying, boy, we want to connect, we want a multicultural environment, we want us all to be one in Christ, just like, you know, Christ said, I and the Father are one, you all be one. He said, you want to be, your heart's right, but the problem is our tight social circles that exist today in evangelical America. And he's saying even more so in evangelical America than in liberal society because, you know, hey, we have small groups and so forth, and who are we small grouping with? That's the question. Have we intentionally made that a diverse small group? And he gave us as an example, like getting a job. You know, here, I live in the north side of Indy, which is fairly upscale. Now, if I stay there in my little, and it isn't any longer, but in my little white church there, and I socialize with people who are just like me, and one of us needs a job, and we can refer them and become the insider. Who's going to get that job? It's going to be another white of scale, so forth. So the point is, we have to be intentional about crossing these lines. That's a great point, Kara. And I saw that, and that was part of my endeavor with Indie Christian, was I can get people to surf across some former boundaries, whereas I may not be able to get them there physically. I still, every Saturday morning, I invite my neighbors and friends to come down and go with me to the hood. We're going to do this training thing at a little great Christian cafe. And they're like, not me, Jack. I'm not venturing down into the inner city. But I, you know, as I can get them more familiar by surfing them in, then they can realize that. Right. That they need to. Sure. So, for instance, I did then blog. Exactly. So I did, for instance, I went to Michael's site on Divided by Faith. If you haven't read this book, you need to read it. It is awesome.
And an example of how the blog has made that happen. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Los Angeles, hanging out with a couple of Mexican-American urban youth workers in San Fernando and in Compton. They wouldn't ordinarily have reason to hang out at Fuller Theological Seminary, but because, and neither would I, being a Puerto Rican from New York, I don't have reason to be at Fuller necessarily either, but because of blogs, had the opportunity to meet a Fuller professor through his blog, connected online, agreed that while I was out in LA, we'd hook up, these other guys joined me, and here they are connecting live and in the flesh with somebody they wouldn't ordinarily be connected to, or for that matter, me as well. We've got time for, I think, two more questions, and then we're going to have to begin to draw things to a close.
This happened to Jarvis and I when we were down in St. Louis for the National City Impact Roundtable. Technology didn't work right when you wanted it to. We were at the City Reaching site earlier. Let's see, here we go. Let's look for, there are all the Alabama cities. Let's look for Washington State. There's Washington State. Here we go. Washington, D.C. There is apparently at least a thing called dcchristians.net, dcchristians.com, and so forth. So it is a place where we started finding folks. You're there. We didn't know that. Now we do. We're going to be able to connect to you. You can connect to us.
And that doesn't preclude you from having your own site. But your site now gets linked up to this one, and it becomes more of a complete network as opposed to a bunch of scattershot networks. One more question, and then we're going to draw it to a close.
Well, it wasn't a question, more of a comment. I think this is more towards the racial boundary issue, and not directly towards racial boundary, more culturally here. One part of church planting down here in Indy from Muncie, Indiana, which is driving Trump now, I assure you. But, it's all just like mid-20s, like white days, like that's what we are. We've been on here, well, I've been on here for a year or so with that group, but as this friend of mine kind of put it yesterday, like, we are essentially a church driven by the blog. I'd say every single one of us, and you know, on a given Sunday, 30, 40, 50 people at the most, is, the majority, two-thirds, three-fourths at least, are on Zanga.com.
Mm-hmm.
There have been relationships formed, which I see every single week, kind of to my personal dismay, not really, but people like, oh, hey, I'm, so-and-so. Like, they introduce themselves as their Zanga name. But I just wanted to offer that as a little bit of encouragement and support for this, that locally there are kind of cultural boundaries as far as people connecting that are being bridged through just what you're talking about.
Yeah, there are a number of services, Zanga, MySpace, Skonex, Blogger, of course, which we've been talking about. AOL now has a blog feature. So there are a number of them. One final thought on back to the blog question, the group blog question that you asked. In our experience, it's been great that each of the blog, the group blog contributors have their own site as well, because then they have their own space to create, create their voice, and then the group blog becomes a place where that voice, can kind of bounce off of each other in almost a.
So do you have like a moderator of the group?
Well, we're still experimenting with that. So we haven't quite figured out the right model yet, but that's the idea, that there would be some sort of a moderator, but then a bunch of the contributors can, you know, at their leisure, add things to it as well. So thank you very much for coming. We're going to stick around for a few minutes if people want to talk further. God bless you all. Oh yeah, if you could also make it a point to fill out the workshop evaluation. And if you haven't signed in with your web or blog address, please make it a point to do that as well, so we can stay connected. Thank you.